Hi everyone, my name is Michelle Cantro-Vasquez and I am the founder and editor of News Is My Business, an online news site about Puerto Rico's business community. With us today for this special episode of Dollars and Cents is Antonio Sosa Pascual, co-president of the Puerto Rico Information Technology Cluster, and board member Jose Heike, who are here today to talk about the upcoming CIO and IT Leadership Conference 2019, slated to take place May 17 at the Sheraton Puerto Rico Hotel and Casino. Welcome both.
Thank you. Thank you for having us today. Basically, this year we're going to be having for the first time a really incredible set of content for our organization, our members, and the industry. For the first time, we're going to have a parallel tracks.
Okay.
And out of that, we've built a artificial intelligence parallel track, and also an innovation and digital transformation track. And this year, we're going to be emphasizing, as I mentioned, we're really going to be emphasizing three things. And number one, we're going to be emphasizing federal procurement. And number two, we're going to be emphasizing innovation. And number three, we're going to be emphasizing also the role of women in technology and also workforce development.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about each one of those three points.
Okay, so let me begin with women in technology. So as part of the new board of the cluster, which we had a board transition late last year, we laid out three main priorities. And one of them was to increase federal procurement within our members and in the industry. And number two, increase the participation of women in our board and in our events. And number three, go deeper on specific subject matter areas within technology. So what we've done is, within that priorities of our board, our new board, we're laid it out in the event itself, okay? So we're gonna have for the first time a breakfast, a Women in Technology networking breakfast. It's gonna be hosted by Camille Burkert from Banco Popular. She's the Chief Information Officer.
And she just got an important recognition.
That's right. Yeah,
so
recently.
It comes just in time.
American Banker, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. And then that's going to be important because, so it's going to be our second event focused on women this year. We already had a IT Power Hour, which is a kind of like a networking cocktail reception for women in technology. We also appointed for the first time in our board. You know, we have our first female, but we also, in addition to our treasurer, we also have a chairwoman for the Women in Technology group.
So what are some of the things that need to be done to increase that participation by women?
So I think one of them is awareness. So that's the first, the basic level of, you know, work that needs to be done. And because I think there are a lot of women in technology in Puerto Rico, but maybe people just don't know it, or they don't get the profile, or maybe they don't have the leadership positions within the organizations. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to change pretty quickly, at least in our group. And then number two, I think there's a sense of looking at the pipeline as well in terms of the undergraduates and graduate students and the talent. And kind of really understanding those percentages. And I know, you know, in Mayagüez, I think it's getting closer now, 50-50, the women and men. In Mayagüez, which used to be not the case. And in Rio Piedras is already, 70% women. Mm. So, and the technical component, engineering, it's typically being dominated by males. But I think we're seeing progress with respect to the role of women in technical fields.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. That's in terms of academia, but what do you do when they graduate and go out looking for work?
So in the workplace, we don't have a specific program for that yet, but that's one of the things that we want to create. We have been promoting for the last couple of years, this year being the first one we're not doing it, but we've been promoting the Computer Science for All program, and which has a very strong female component nationwide in the U.S. Okay. And we've been part of that movement. So that group has a lot of specific groups in the in the U.S. mainland, encouraging women. So at some point, when our group gets stronger, then we may tap into some of those groups.
Let me add a little to that. Private level, companies that employ IT professionals in Puerto Rico, pretty much every company has some sort of initiative, whether it's really formal and structured or not, regarding how to ensure that there's more inclusiveness of women in the workforce. Mm-hmm. There are firms that have specific recruiting goals. Mm-hmm. I cannot vouch for each firm, but I know that it is happening. There are specific measures being taken by employers to, in some cases, not only for women, but with women it's even more apparent, making special accommodations that make sense for the employees in order to be able to keep their jobs and contribute, while at the same time they're having other issues they have to address, like families at home and that kind of stuff. I'm seeing that pretty much in every technology firm I'm seeing. So I'll add to that even at the society level, there are even organizations here in Puerto Rico whose sole agenda is empowering women.
Mm-hmm. So it is having an effect.
But it's something. It's not the idea of the Puerto Rico IT cluster just to say, we need more women to be part of our industry.
Sure.
It's an idea that is shared with a push that's happening, as you very well know, all throughout society, even beyond Puerto Rico. So we're just aligning with what really should be happening and should have been happening a long while ago. And what we're seeing then is all private companies doing this, and eventually we should see the results in places like the board of directors of the Puerto Rico IT cluster, which has already taken the steps.
All right. So talk to me about the other two points, federal procurement and innovation.
Right. So with respect to federal procurement, we're going to have we invited, and maybe the first time, I think we invite a person from the federal government at our event at this level. I'm not entirely sure.
At this level, yes. In the past, we've had the people from the federal contracting office
center.
We did have
Jennifer Gonzalez at one point.
Sure.
But from basically chief procurement officer of a federal agency, this is the first time we have that person.
Yes.
And
she's Hispanic.
She's actually Puerto Rican.
Oh, she's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
So
that's right. She's Puerto Rican. And
do you know what she's going to be talking about, more or less?
Well, we basically asked her to talk about the role of the chief procurement officer in promoting technology and innovation, mostly because the way you buy as a government has an impact on how you promote innovation and economic development, basically.
Sure.
And the creation of new companies. And
obviously that has a domino effect on the private sector as well.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, because basically most of them, they're hiring basically private companies for these services. So in the case of Department of Homeland Security, it has one of the largest budgets, in the federal government. It's a, multi-billion dollar budget. We're gonna give her that opportunity to talk to our audience, engage. We're actually gonna give her, quite a bit of time for Q&A.
Yeah, that's what, 45 minutes.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
And we're gonna give her quite a bit of time for questions and answers as well, so
that's
that people
important.
In the audience can really ask questions. And
there are IT companies in Puerto Rico that are most interested in that part of the agenda,
sure.
Just to make sure they best align towards being able to propose.
But they should also be aware that they need to have all their paperwork in order to be able to do that kind
of
procurement,
of course.
Right?
And many are. I'm just saying that whenever you bring the chief procurement officer for an agency like this anywhere, it's like, oh, we want to talk to these people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, hey, there's money in it.
Yep.
And so the third point would be innovation.
And
right?
The third point is innovation in the broad sense. And one thing we wanted to do this year, which we decided to, it's a little bit of a risk for us because we already have a formula that works, and we're doing a slight change this year. So typically our event...
Change is good.
Of course, it's good. So we decided to experiment.
Okay.
And basically see how our audience accepts this change. So instead of having just one full event in one big auditorium, we're going to split it in the afternoon in three tracks. So the main track is going to continue in the middle, and then we're going to have on one side the artificial intelligence and business insights track. And then on the other side, we're going to have the innovation and digital transformation. So really, the bottom line on the artificial intelligence track is really we're trying to go deeper on specific topics that are complex and that people may hear like buzzwords, mm-hmm. but they don't really understand what it is. Right. So it's more like an educational approach. Whereas on the innovation panel, our target is to go deeper on industries. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the payment processing industry, the healthcare technology industry, and also the cybersecurity industry as well.
And how big is artificial intelligence development here?
Well, I think basically there's a couple of companies already offering services. As a matter of fact, one of our members is doing work with the Defense Department on artificial mm-hmm. intelligence. But I think at this stage, I don't want to say it's become mainstream, but it's become something that the big companies are already offering products for the small companies that are partners to kind of distribute.
That's correct.
So like Microsoft and, you know, has already had some products that
That's
are...
Awesome.
Yeah, and the thing with AI is that it's come to the point where, you know, like Antonio said, the big companies already have a number of products for machine learning and stuff like that middle of the road companies can bring them in, plug them into something they have, and they incorporate a machine learning component into their solution, and then it's an AI product at the end of the day. So we don't have to be the ones, the geniuses, formulating all the algorithms to make sure that the machine is indeed acting as if it were a human being. Mm-hmm. Just using some of these products that the big companies are providing enables local companies to actually do these kinds of things. So there are companies in Puerto Rico doing, let's call them AI projects, mm-hmm. which is basically incorporating these components in an AI product. And that's just better for the industry.
So at some point, you know, we aspire, you know, from an aspirational standpoint, we aspire Puerto Rico to produce technologies of our, you know, our own, which we are already. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's something called kind of like the innovation gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we typically been kind of late adopters in Puerto Rico, and I think that's shifting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say we're early adopters yet, but I think
middle of the road adopters, maybe.
I think by now we're narrowing that gap significantly,
okay.
And I think in a couple of years we may be close to being early adopters, I think.
Now, let me ask you, because the IT cluster has been around for a while, have there been any significant changes that maybe you want to talk about, you know, over the years, and perhaps especially after Maria? I don't know if you've had any...
You mean in the industry or in our group?
Yeah, the cluster and the industry.
Okay. I think so. So I think the first, we did have a big change, which I started mentioning to you, which is the change in our board.
Right.
you know, this...
Transcended from the founders to the...
Yeah.
To the,
so basically...
The big change in the board really has to do with the fact that the founders of the cluster were the ones that finally got out of the process.
After how many years?
About 5 years, five 6 years, years. Six, five
the
years.
The event has been 6 years, so let's say maybe 1 or 2 years before that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And then now it's more a real let's get to work kind of board instead of... Where that was in charge of trying to create the concept and see how it stuck. Sorry,
yeah, no. So I mean, I think it's in a way I'm actually really happy that Jose is here because he's part of that founding group, and really, as a matter of fact, in my case, I had the privilege to be with the board for about 4 years before now becoming co-president. But
who's the other president?
Juan Carlos Chippy. From True North Corporation.
Okay.
Yeah, which actually, as a matter of fact, is working very well. Working very well as well.
Okay.
For us to have two presidents.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, part of who we are, you know, if you want to be in the technology industry, you have to be innovative. You have to change all the time. You have to, you know, follow. You know, be a leader, but at the same time, you know, understand the trends. And I think we are a very flexible organization. We're very low. We have a lot of low overhead, and I think we've done amazing things with what we have. So one of the things we did is with this shift. I think the founders themselves, you know, they had a. I think they struggled a lot to actually put this together.
Okay.
Because I think
Why?
This. it looks obvious right now that it needed to be done, mm-hmm. but before it wasn't done, nobody wanted to do it.
Okay.
And I know what exactly was going to happen.
And nobody knew. And remember, like, when you start something from scratch, nobody believes in it in general, in a culture that's a late adopter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for them, and that was one of the issues, but then the other issue is that they were competitors.
Ah, okay.
And they really didn't have like a unifying factor to rally around and really kind of build this organization around an enemy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but
it took a while to
nobody
do that,
wanted
yeah.
to share any information.
Well, it took a right. while to understand that yeah. we could work together, yeah.
Okay. Right, right. I mean, literally, it's like they're all basically, you know.
They didn't want to share their secrets.
Exactly. So I think it took a, and then you remember, like culturally, and you know this, you've seen the transition probably in Puerto Rico in the business sector that traditionally there was a very low levels of trust in the industry and low levels of collaboration, which I think has changed dramatically
yes.
over the time. And I think it was happening, the downturn and the economic depression in Puerto Rico helped break that somehow.
Well, you know, at one point the term came up of co-opetitions, cooperating mm-hmm. while
right.
competing. So
right.
maybe that's something that's spilled over
Definitely.
To the IT sector.
I think so. There's a little bit of that. And there's also, I think after Hurricane Maria, the collaboration within different segments in Puerto Rico has increased.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're at a good time, and our industry is at a good time. It is changing. So what we did is, with the shift, we actually have some of our founding members, their companies are still represented in our board, but through different individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We added several new individuals, like Luis Torres from Engine 4.
Oh, yeah.
And we also have now Alberto Lugo from
mm-hmm.
Invi.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know we have you know E3 Consulting, which is from Alberto Cordero, but now we have you know other people there.
Okay.
So that's one of the big things that one of the big changes, and now what we were trying to do with this year is go deeper in topics that really retain our clientele.
Okay.
To retain our members. And
how many members do you have right now?
Yeah, so we have between 16 and 20 members.
Okay.
You know, so we're relatively
and
small.
And is it representative of the industry, or would you say you like to have a bigger, you know, a bigger?
I mean, place? You know, we always want to have more members, but right now, basically, our membership really is our conference in a way.
Okay.
So that's our community.
Okay.
So you know, we have about 500 to 700 people who attend. Is the main leading the leading industry event, and we have like 30 plus sponsors,
okay.
which is in a way is a form of endorsement.
Sure.
So I think one of the things we've been trying to figure out is what is the right membership services that they want, right? Because we don't really want to establish compete with like Chamber of Commerce and
mm-hmm.
Industriales and Tronido. We really
no, because you have your thing, and
yeah.
and usually the IT industry is very specific, and there are only a specific group of people who really know how to address it and deal with it.
Yeah, but the thing, but at the same time, you know, I think the technology is revolutionizing everything in our
yeah.
lives, and. You
can't live without it now.
More and more, every company is going to become kind of like a technology company anyway.
Right.
So we are revising our membership program, but right now we're just focusing on providing content for our members and our community.
Now let me ask you, backtrack a little bit. You said that it was a good thing that you have co-presidents. Why?
Oh, I think it's great. I honestly think it's great.
Does it take the load off a single person, or do you get more done, or why?
They don't get paid. They don't get paid.
So
if you have to do it for free, it's better to split it between two guys.
Well, I mean, think I experimented with this model when I was doing my MBA at MIT, and there it was traditional to have sometimes four co-presidents.
Okay.
And at the beginning, you're like, oh, that's weird. Everybody wants to be a leader. Right, but then you realize that it creates a more energy. It allows to distribute power and authority, and it kind of obliges you to be a little more respectful and understanding of you know, your team members.
How long is a term for the president?
We technically don't. I think it's probably about 2 years,
yeah.
But I don't. You know, okay. I think we just kind of reelect, and if it's working, it.
Well,
you know,
and the reason why I ask is continuity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's really important. So you wonder. You know.
I mean, my plan at least is to, you know, try to stay 2 years, so one more year at least, and I think Chippy probably about the same.
Okay.
And after that, you know, get somebody ready. So.
You mentioned continuity, and that was the challenge really to begin with, but. It's an accomplished goal by now. Of course, it could be a challenge again in the future, but I like to state that that's why the first board took so long. It was, continuity was a challenge that took so long to figure out. It was figured out, and there's a new board, which is pretty impressive board. And I guess our foresight is that continuity will not be a big issue going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a small issue maybe, but it won't be something significant like it was in the past. Be aware, I like that one more thing. You have to be aware that the objectives, the main point in the agenda of the Puerto Rico IT cluster is really to position the Puerto Rico IT industry favorably towards the future in terms of competing regionally and globally,
mm-hmm.
and also internally in Puerto Rico, making sure that the agenda of the industry is indeed on equal terms as the agenda of so many other industries that have their own trade groups in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So on those two levels, we can say that's the agenda of the IT cluster. And certainly, that's the way things are moving. The IT conference, of course, the IT Leadership Conference, of course, was a first step that we're trying to get more bang for the buck as we go. Emphasis in bang instead of buck in this
mm-hmm.
comment.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to get more out of it so that then the membership questions that you had and all those things kind of are convergent to just having just an organization that's really even more and more relevant.
Okay.
And these guys are going in the right direction, certainly.
All right. Do you want to send a message maybe out there so that we can, you know, wrap up this podcast with a bang, bang, like you said?
Well, I mean, I think I'd like to encourage anybody who, in industry, who has a important, where technology is important to them, you know, their business and their clients, their customers, to join us. You know, we actually have the membership package online.
Okay.
And
you want to give out the address?
Website,
yes.
So it's PuertoRicoIsIT.com. So,
and that's the website to get information about the conference and membership and all of that.
Right. To join us in the conference this year. It's gonna be fun. We always finish with a rock band that is an industry led. So we have like, you know, CEOs of companies just playing in the band. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds like fun. Yes,
and also I just like to kind of. Remind our colleagues to think about the Puerto Rico IT Cluster Innovation Awards for next year.
Okay.
For 2020. So this is going to be our second year, and we had a...
How many will you be giving out this year?
We can't say.
No, okay.
Because it depends on how many the judges select.
But
the categories,
uh-huh.
We have the categories.
Those are the categories.
So it's intellectual property, IT product of the year, tech export of the year, tech startup of the year, and societal impact award.
Okay. So
we're going to be giving awards only if they're merit, you know, there's merit for the awards, and we have an outside panel, outside of Puerto Rico panel. Actually, Jose was in charge of that.
Yeah, the awards will be bestowed on the 17th. We announced on the 17th.
Uh-huh.
And the process is very vertical, very independent, driven, and so on. So we have a panel of five judges. For now, the unwritten rule has been, let's make sure there are people who have no ties to any industry participants in Puerto Rico. So automatically, being the small island that we are, that led us to making sure that none of us actually live in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So we have five judges that participated in the deliberations. And they're the ones who determine who gets which award. There's a nominations process already occurred and so on. We have many nominees. So now it's their job to decide what's going to happen, who's going to get what. I should accentuate that out of the five awards, the best award, the best movie award, let's say,
uh-huh.
is the Societal Impact Award.
Yeah.
And that's really, the intent of that award is to award it to somebody who, through innovation in technology, has the greatest impact on society, on Puerto Rican rural society.
And I'm sure that's taking on even a more significant role this year following the impact of Hurricane Maria, right?
Yes, last year when we had our fifth conference, it was the first year we ever had these awards. It was a pilot year. And the winner of that award was certainly looked up to by everybody.
Okay.
We are hoping that it was a company called Map Plus.
Okay.
And if just to give you really quick what they did is they were originally hired by the Puerto Rico Telecommunications Board so they could have a software that kept track of which cell phone antennas were up and which ones were not.
Mm.
And that kind of makes sense for the TRB,
the
Telecommunications Regulatory Board. But then they started understanding that the impact of that was a lot bigger. So by knowing which cell phone antennas were up, they could see how many phones were connected, and they could start saying, well, we need more resources being sent to this area because there's more people there, or less to this other area because there's less people there. And that you know, users of that application were agencies like FEMA, mm-hmm. and all the local agencies were using that application to know where services were required, and they really had a great impact on Puerto Rico,
okay.
on the recuperation effort.
And so this year you're looking for something similar, I suppose.
The judges are looking, and they have their candidates, and they have to decide. But whatever they decide, I'm sure it's going to be much in line with the societal impact message. And that's the award that we covet the most.
All right. Well, listen, thank you both for being with us today. And, you know, keep us posted on the awards and everything that comes after the event.
If you have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.